Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 301. Always begin with gratitude. So it's a little struggle naming this one, and I ended up going with a line I got from Scotty Mosier. We were talking about something this past time we were training, so end of last year, and he says, well, you know, whenever I'm sitting down or having a conversation, or I always begin with gratitude, and I thought, what a great line. Just always have that in your head. If I'm going to talk, sit down, converse, just start with gratitude. And I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Well, a good friend, client of mine, sent me this amazing article on some scientific research done on people being grateful. And I thought, great send to me. And it just lit my brain up. First time I read through it, all these things, purple, yellow, little things done consistently. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting what you're getting. If you like what you're getting, keep doing it. And it was just, love the article. So I read that, talk about some other things, but that's where the title came from. So a little thank you for the line, Scotty, and for the article, Chris, thank you. Hope you are well. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And lastly, I'm running a special on online clients. So if you have any interest, any questions, want to know what that's about, shoot me a message. Many, many ways to get a hold of me. And enjoy this episode of Pro U Podcast. It's a great day for the motor car race. How you doing? How you feeling? How you living? Are you in the purple? Are you pro you? It's me, Tom, pro you podcast guy. Always begin with gratitude is a line I got from Scotty Mosier. And today, one of the things I was going to talk about was this article on gratitude and the scientific data that they have accumulated. And so I said, well, let me just entitle it that. So tip my hat. Thank you for the line, Scotty. And it is. It's just a great, I mean, this whole article, it's kind of a lengthy one, but I mean, what I've done, what I do, what I share, everything about it was just so reinforced by this article. And there's been a couple times in the past I've had some episodes where there's been scientific data that I stumbled upon that completely paralleled the things that I was speaking about. And that just fires me up a whole lot. So this article was sent to me by a good friend and client, Senior Morrison, Mr. Morrison, and it's from Greater Good Magazine, How Gratitude Changes You and Your Brain. Come on, how could you not read that and go, I should send that to Tom? This came out 2017 by Joel Wong and Joshua Brown. New research is starting to explore how gratitude works to improve your mental health. Wasn't that fantastic? I mean, anything that helps to improve our mental health would be a good thing. Purple. With the rise of managed health care, which emphasizes cost efficiency and brevity, mental health professionals have had to confront this burning question. How can they help clients derive the greatest possible benefit from treatment in the shortest amount of time? Recent evidence suggests that a promising approach is to complement psychological counseling with additional activities that are not too taxing for clients but yield high results. In our own research, we have zeroed in on one such activity. Drumroll, the practice of gratitude. Who would ever think that would be a line in an article? We zeroed it down to one such activity that people can do. Gratitude. Be grateful. Now, many studies over the past decades have found that people who consciously count their blessings tend to be happier and less depressed. what when I read that, I was like, yellow and purple. I mean, that's all I talk about. Yellow and purple. Count your blessings. Tend to be a little bit happier and less depressed. Counting the three good tires. Love this stuff. Thank you, Chris. The problem is that most research studies on gratitude have been conducted with well-functioning people. Is gratitude beneficial for people who struggle with mental health concerns? And if so, how? Great question, article writing people. We randomly assigned our study participants into three groups. Although all three groups received counseling services, the first group was also instructed to write one letter of gratitude to another person each week for 3 weeks. Whereas the second group was asked to write about their deepest thoughts and feelings about negative experiences. The third group did not do any writing activity. They were lazy. Kidding. What did we find? Compared to the participants who wrote about negative experiences or only received counseling, those who wrote gratitude letters reported significantly better mental health for 4 weeks and 12 weeks after. Or 4 weeks and, sorry, reported significantly better mental health 4 weeks and 12 weeks after their writing exercises ended. This suggests that gratitude writing can be beneficial not just for healthy, well-adjusted individuals, but also for those who struggle with mental health concerns. Wow. Yay. In fact, it seems practicing gratitude on top of receiving psychological counseling carries greater benefits than counseling alone, even when that gratitude practice is brief. And that's the same thing. I've said this statement a bunch of times. When I was going to therapy, my therapist said, look, if you're eating healthy and exercising, therapy has better results. When I went on medication, they said, now when you go on medication, if you're eating healthier and exercising, the medication is going to work better. And here it again is that same thing, is if you keep doing these things, it improves a lot of other things as well. All right. We found indications of how gratitude might actually work on our minds and bodies. While not definitive, here are the four insights from our research suggesting what might be behind gratitude's psychological benefits. Gratitude unshackles us from toxic emotions. First, by analyzing the words used by participants in each of the two writing groups, we were able to understand the mechanism behind the mental health benefits of gratitude writing letter. gratitude letter writing. We compared the percentage of positive emotion words, negative emotion words, and we words, first person plural words, that participants used in their writing. Not surprisingly, those in the gratitude writing group used a higher percentage of positive emotion words and we words, and a lower proportion of negative emotion words than those in the other writing groups. However, people who used more positive emotion words and more we words in their gratitude letters didn't necessarily have better mental health later. It was only when people used fewer, I love this part, when they used fewer negative emotion words in their letters that they were significantly more likely to report better mental health. So again, if you want to talk about your flat tire, if you want to talk about your yellow, go ahead. But it is going to affect you negatively the most. In fact, it was the lack of negative emotion words, not the abundance of positive words, that explained the mental health gap between the gratitude writing group and the other writing group. Perhaps this suggests that the gratitude letter writing produces better mental health by shifting one's attention away from the toxic emotions, purple, yellow, shift, such as resentment and envy. When you write about how grateful you are to others and how much other people have blessed your life, it might become considerably harder for you to ruminate on your negative experiences. Amen. Number two, gratitude helps even if you don't share it. Now, this I love too. I heard it in a different context, but we told participants who were assigned to write gratitude letters that they weren't required to send the letters to their intended recipient. In fact, only 23% of the participants who wrote gratitude letters sent them, but those who didn't send their letters enjoyed the benefits of experiencing gratitude nonetheless. Just like I heard this a long time ago, you're going to write that, you get really angry at someone, so you just write them a letter with no intentions of mailing it. Why? Well, you get it out of your head. You don't tell them, you don't get it out of your head, it stays there. Again, it just sits there like kryptonite. It will eat away at you. You need to get it out, write it. As soon as you write it down, I think, oh, that's gone. And you don't even care if you mail it. I love that. So this suggests that the mental health benefits of writing gratitude letters are not entirely dependent on actually communicating that gratitude to another person. So if you're thinking of writing a letter of gratitude to someone, but you're unsure whether you want that person to read the letter, we encourage you to write it anyway. You can decide later whether to send it, and we think it's often a good idea to do so. But the mere act of writing the letter can help you appreciate the people in your life and shift your focus away from the negative feelings and thoughts. And I said this to a client the other day. Just start, when something comes to you, an epiphany, a different moment, something you recognize, you become aware, have a moment of clarity, write it down. You know, it gives us something to talk about. But when you write it down, you're like, okay, I paused, I slowed down, I stopped this moment, I identified it, I wrote it down. Now, in the act of writing it down, it's like I'm remembering it again. You know, there's a bunch of things that make it a very cathartic practice to do. So again, when it talks about this stuff, I totally relate. You know, write it down, get it out, journal, love all that stuff. All right, number three, gratitude's benefits take time. Nuh-uh, another thing. It's important to note that the mental health benefits of gratitude writing in our study did not emerge immediately, but gradually accrued over time. Although the different groups in our study did not differ in mental health levels 1 week after the end of writing activities, individuals in the gratitude group reported better mental health than the others 4 weeks after the writing activities, and this difference in mental health became even larger 12 weeks after the writing activities. These results are encouraging because many other studies suggest that the mental health benefits of positive activities often decrease rather than increase over time afterward. We really don't know why this positive snowball effect occurred in our study. How fantastic is that? Something that, and again, I told, this is like the same client I was talking to yesterday. I go, look, when you go from a 6 to a 7 and you start thinking about becoming an 8 and you finally one day become an 8, you never go backwards. Because once you feel better, you likey lots. And so you tend to gravitate towards that. You know, the whole breadcrumbs. I like what I'm getting now, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Now, what I'm doing may not always be fun, but I'm starting to kind of grasp, embrace, connect the fact that if I do those things, I then feel better. So you just naturally kind of get addicted to that because we like feeling better. For now, the bottom line is, if you participate in a gratitude writing activity, don't be too surprised if you don't feel dramatically better immediately after the writing. Be patient and remember the benefits of gratitude might take time to kick in. I mean, I remember, you know, the whole deal. I moved into this exact place I'm sitting in right now recording this podcast. And day one, I did not ask for anything. When I was praying, I just started saying thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. I'm grateful for this. Wake up in the morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's all I did. And one day I stepped 1 foot out of the door. Still had my hand on the doorknob. We're going to close it. 1 foot in the apartment. And I just stopped. This was not planned. It was just, it happened. And this is 4 or 5 years ago, and I remember it like yesterday. And I turned around and I looked inside my apartment and I just said, I'm thankful for my home. Now it was glowingly obvious what I didn't have, what was gone in my life. I mean, I was married, had a stepdaughter, had a family, you know, I had a home. I mean, 12, 14 years. Married 12, together 14. So when all that was gone, it was quiet, it was empty. And I'm not even sure how it happened. But my very first moment, I started to say, I'm thankful. Thankful I'm here, because I'm moving. And I had a garage turned into a man room that I had to dismantle, take apart, get a storage unit, look for an apartment. And the whole time, realizing now that my ex was full on seeing someone and I couldn't say anything. I mean, it was so difficult. And when I got here, I said, that's done. I'm just going to be thankful I made it through it. And I just stayed there. And then always begin with gratitude. I mean, Scotty's probably told me that maybe a year ago, probably within the last year. So I can tell you, it's a phenomenal thing. And if it just becomes default, it will take over and guide your pro-you path. All right, four, last one. Gratitude has lasting effects on the brain. About 3 months after the psychotherapy sessions began, we took some of the people who wrote gratitude letters and compared them with those who didn't do any writing. We wanted to know if their brains were processing information differently. We used an MRI scanner to measure brain activity while people from each group did a pay-it-forward task. In that task, individuals were regularly given a small amount of money by a nice person called the benefactor. This benefactor only asked that they pass the money on to someone if they felt grateful. Our participants then decided how much of the money, if any, to pass on to a worthy cause. And we did in fact donate that money to a local charity. We wanted to distinguish donations motivated by gratitude from donations driven by other motivations like feelings of guilt or obligation. So we asked the participants to rate how grateful they felt toward the benefactor and how much they wanted to help each charitable cause, as well as how guilty they would feel if they didn't help. We also gave them questionnaires to measure how grateful they are in their lives in general. We found that across the participants, when people felt more grateful, their brain activity was distinct from brain activity related to guilt and the desire to help a cause. More specifically, we found that when people who are generally more grateful gave more money to a cause, they showed greater neural sensitivity in the medial prefrontal cortex, a brain area associated with the learning and decision making. This suggests that people who are more grateful are also more attentive to how they express gratitude. Most interestingly, when we compared those who wrote the gratitude letters with those who didn't, the gratitude letter writers showed greater activation in the medial prefrontal cortex when they experienced gratitude in the MRI scanner. This is striking, as this effect was found 3 months after the letter writing began. This indicates that simply expressing gratitude may have lasting effects on the brain. One more time. This indicates that simply expressing gratitude may have lasting effects on the brain. While not conclusive, this finding suggests that practicing gratitude may help train the brain to be more sensitive to the experience of gratitude down the line, and this could contribute to improved mental health over time. Though these are just the first steps in what should be a longer research journey, our research so far not only suggests that writing gratitude letters may be helpful for people seeking counseling services, but also explains what's behind gratitude's psychological benefits. At a time when many mental health professionals are feeling crunched, we hope that this research can point them and their clients towards an effective and beneficial tool. Regardless of whether you're facing serious psychological challenges, if you have never written a gratitude letter before, we encourage you to try. Much of our time and energy is spent pursuing things we currently don't have. Gratitude reverses our priorities to help us appreciate the people and things we do. And I don't know how many quotes I've posted about don't let the things that you want make you forget the things that you have. The whole Myra syndrome. Dude's got five things and he's looking at number in six and he wants number three different. Fast forward, what happens? Didn't get six, didn't get seven. Three never changed. What happened? He lost number four. So when you again refocus your brain through little consistent things and it feels better, you'll just kind of keep doing it. So as I kind of identified my quan, what was important, I always said my world got smaller. And as my world got smaller, I was better. It was easier to identify. Choices seemed a little bit easier to do, to make, to see. So once again, thank you, Mr. Morrison, for that. Love that. Love that. So this is an email I received from one of my favorite people, Nico. I have mentioned him a few times. He's been a longtime follower, and he's the only listener that traveled to L.A. I mean, not to meet up with me, but he was visiting L.A., and we hooked up, and we shared a coffee, and pretty much been friends ever since. But this cat, yeah, I love everybody. It's just, you know, you got your unique snowflake. You're just you doing you, and you're different than everybody else just because you, and that's what makes you special. So just how this guy writes when he shares stuff, I just loved it out of the gate. It wasn't similar to anyone else. It wasn't common. It wasn't familiar. He would just write and he would put it in a way where it just would make me kind of stop. And I just appreciated his perspective and how he shared it and what he shared. And this has been going on for quite a while. But one of the most unique things is he's like, you know, I'm not caught up. I don't do that. It just seems like when I listen, it's the perfect time for me to have heard that episode. So he'd be on whatever number and he goes, oh, Tom, this happened and this is what I applied and this is what I felt. And I was like, you know, just drinking the Kool-Aid. And I loved it. And he's just a better him and he shares moments of being a better him. And there's nothing that fills my heart more. Well, Nico caught up and he sent me this email and I bawled like a little baby. And hopefully I don't, but I'm going to read this because I just love these, you know, that you don't set out. Well, I didn't set out to do this podcast to make money, you know, to become famous or popular. I just did it to help people. So when you get a poem like Chris wrote me, or you get an email like this from Nico, man, there's my purple. There's my gratitude that I got this email. This fills me up. I don't just focus on the fact that I got this email. I'm okay. Hey, Tom, with episode 300 due out this week, would you believe I'm actually caught up? Ha ha ha. What are the chances that this special episode would be when my path, hearing each episode exactly when I'm supposed to, and the podcast present would converge? I've even booked Wednesday off so I can catch the live workout. It's a week-long celebration of Pro-U and how far I've come on my journey. I love that. Like, I just love that. I'm doing better than ever. And it's all thanks to you and telling me to go left on the path because the bridge is out on the right path. Like, there it is, just my verbiage thrown back his own way. And I'm doing better than ever. Like, I'm doing better than ever. That's the best line in the world for someone like me to read. But then what makes me tear up and just crushes my heart is, not in a bad way, and it's all thanks to you. That's big stuff, man. Here's a little story to sum up how I'm feeling and the effect you and the podcast have had on me. And I love this. The Magnolia Tree. It's entitled The Magnolia Tree. Every day on my way to work, I pass a magnolia tree. As the winter months pass and the cold begins to fade to spring, the magnolia tree blossoms the most beautiful flowers. Flowers that have a gradient of pink to white, like a tree of cotton candy. Every day I see this beautiful tree further up the street. I physically slow down my car as I pass to look at the tree and its beautiful flowers as a reminder to slow down and also to remember all the good and beauty in the world, its inhabitants, and most importantly, myself. As the winter months pass, my screensaver went on and I tried to grab my mouse and move it, and here we are. One day, however, I didn't notice the flowers any longer. Admittedly, I don't know much about magnolia trees. The flowers had all fallen. I had a brief moment of sadness, but the thought that followed was profound. We're all like a magnolia tree. We have our time to bloom and shine and be beautiful with our vibrant flowers, and that's great. The time will come when our flowers will fall, however. We won't shine like we did with the flowers. But it's important to remember we're still a magnolia tree, and our potential for beauty is there and will return. The time will come when the flowers will be back. I have to look harder now to spot the magnolia tree on my way to work, but it's still just as beautiful without any of its flowers. This is a long one, and I'm not even sorry. Ha ha ha. You deserve every word of praise you get, and I'm so thankful for our past crossing and the podcast you've created. Give Zen a big hug for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love that. Thank you, Nico. You are the best, my friend. I mean, I can't remember exactly the date I got that, but just filled me up. Filled me up. Heart overflowing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Nico. And congrats. So, been doing the live workout Wednesdays now we're on 38, 39. But I started kind of doing just this little Friday night fitness video. I did it once. Next Friday, like, oh, I did another one. I'm like, well, I'll start doing that. So I kind of started doing this little quote going, well, what are you doing? It's Friday night. Here I am working out. Kind of like, you know, just telling people, like, you're just sitting around. It's Friday. I need to go out and celebrate or let loose. Or it's like, you could work out first. And it kind of brought back this memory I had of being in college when I joined karate. I mean, that was like the greatest moment because, you know, I tried almost every sport and I was pretty good. But by my junior, senior year, I didn't do anything. I was just lifting weights. But I don't know. It's like I wanted to be in something. I could just tell. So after I graduated, it was the summer. Kids going to a karate class for free and done. World changed forever. But there's only karate Tuesdays and Thursday nights. So at some point I got a key and I just started going on my own. And once I, you know, kick with someone, but the majority, I just go down there, turn on the music, kick heavy bag. And I remember, like, it wasn't a goal. Like, I'm doing this because I like doing it. You know, hitting the ball up against the wall when I was a kid, myself, no music, no iPod, some blue line on the wall and me and a tennis ball and a racket and just sitting there. So just that repetition I was fine with. I could just sit there and do it. karate, I just loved. I thought it was cool. I loved it, like as a child, watching Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris. And, you know, but just how do you do that? How do you get into that? That's not offered in high school. There's just, I've never been able to kind of gap the bridge, so to speak. Well, there I was in it and loved it, and it was insane. So I remember it would be like a Friday night, and my friends would be like, hey, you know, we're done with school. It's 4 or 5 o'clock. We're going to, you know, barbecue. We're going to meet up. We're going to go to the bars, whatever it was. I'm like, okay, I'll meet you later. And I'm like, what time? And I'm like, I don't know, 9, 10, 8, whatever it was. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm going kicking. You have karate tonight? No. Well, why are you going? No, I want. Who else is going? Nobody. So you're just going to the karate school by yourself to kick. Yep. And no one obviously gave me a hard time, but I knew they didn't get it. I didn't really get it, but I knew right now I wanted to kick way more than I wanted to meet anybody early and do something. So I would go kick, and then I would meet them. And looking back, I'm the only, I think, I remember my instructor saying that when I joined, that beginner class was one of the larger classes. So out of, you know, 30, 40 people as white belts, I was the only one out of that class to make it to black belt. And then obviously the only one who went on to win 7 national sparring titles. So the moral to the story is, on a Friday night, if you're sitting around for 5 minutes, you could have foam rolled for 5 minutes, you could have walked for 5 minutes, could have stretched for 5 minutes, but you probably have more time than just those 5 minutes. So instead of just blanket statement, hey, it's Friday night, I need to do something crazy, release, get out, be wacky, drink, party, maybe I could just work out because I'm worth it. So the first thing I was actually going to chat about, which was kind of a cool thing, was last summer popped into my mind because I was thinking about this summer. I was like, wow, it's June. And, you know, it hasn't been that crazy hot yet. And where my apartment is positioned, it's kind of cool. It's like the southeast corner. So the sun this time of year doesn't hit it as hard. Like, we got to like over 90 a couple days in a row. And you could just hear all the other people's AC units on. I'm like, psh, open the windows, turn the fans on, and I'm cool. But the one thing, you know, it's been a slow May. Now we're kind of getting into June. And I was just going to the beach a lot. and highly aware of that. And then highly aware of how I was doing. And I just, you know, all the things I talk about, it's a muscle and it gets a little bit better. And the longer you sit in that canoe and kind of manage its stability, the easier that is to do. And the more you like it, so the more you keep doing it. It's again, more purple, more grateful, more thankful. I'm a dude that's telling everybody I have less and less stuff than ever before. And I'm the best I've ever been. It's kind of hard to argue with that statement. So I was going, wow, I'm going to the beach a lot. Number one, awesome summer. Number two, I'm like, I'm handling it pretty well mentally because, you know, hey, you should be blah, 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 working, making money, not going into retirement, blah, blah, blah. So I'm handling that really well. And that's like the best thing in the world for me because it's like I can't change certain things, but how I respond, what my thoughts are, I'm learning I can be in total control of that. So in this little moment of way to go time, it might sound kind of silly, but you've been going to the beach a lot and you've been dealing with it well. Way to go. But that's the truth. I thought, it was last May, June, and July. Zen hurt his paw, right front paw, kind of like where the ankle joint would be. And at first I thought it was going to be surgery. Then I was like, well, no surgery, just got to wear a splint for 3 months. Yay, no surgery. Yay, no money. Big, but 3 months. And I'm going back to a vet, so, you know, the surgery specialist every 2 weeks. So the money accumulated, but it was not running not going to the beach at all. And it just, this feeling came in going, wow, remember, I mean, you run, have this active dog 4 or 5 times a day doing things, and all of a sudden you walk once around the block and you come home. And he's looking at you and you're going, okay, now we're going to sit here for 4 or 5 hours. And then take a little walk again, carrying him up the steps, down the steps, not knowing if he was going to get better. Like the mortality thing, and here's my, you know, dog, he's only 3, and is this going to get better? And, you know, when you sprain, tweak something, it heals, but sometimes a break is better, because when it breaks, then it gets fixed. But when it's, you know, you have a sprained ankle, it's like, well, maybe it's never 100%, or it's more susceptible to injuries in the future. So it was a gnarly time. And then I started having my horror dental stories. Had to get another root canal, had to get put under, had to pay a ton extra for anesthesiologists, broke my nose, spent my little cash reserve. I mean, it was a gnarly summer. And all of a sudden, that whole feeling came in me, and it's like, yeah, I'll just go to the beach. Because I'm so thankful I made it through last summer. I'm so thankful I'm not dealing with that right now. You know, it's like, Zen, come here. Zen, don't run there. Zen, don't chase that. You know, that's me now. Versus, wow, my dog can't jump out of the car, can't jump in the car, can't walk up the steps, can't walk down the steps. We can't go to the beach. He can't run. He can't play with other dogs. Mentally, emotionally, that's draining. But I learned a ton from it. So it was just kind of a great moment when I was like, okay, how am I doing? How am I feeling? And it was like, okay, just for a little perspective shift here. Remember last summer, Tom? And it changed everything. So I thought that was pretty fantastic. So last Thursday, I released my 300th episode. And, you know, I obviously record it in advance and do the intro. And it just didn't come to me at the time. But it was, I think, 2 days before. And I went, wow, Thursday's the 13th. 300th episode of the Pro You podcast comes out. Stoked, proud, all good. Well, is there ever yin and yang? There's always yin and yang. Well, what would be the yang? It was 8 years ago on that day that my sister Tammy passed away. And that day always affects me, that thought, because, you know, I go back how many years doing the Sunday morning messages. The last 2 years were a lot about Tammy, and it just affected my life, and then she passed. And when I started the podcast, it was like, well, you can do a podcast, and you can share your story, and you can make mistakes, and you get to have bad days, and get to fall down. And that was all just thinking about Tammy, because she was gone, and she didn't get to anymore. So there was just this moment going, what can I do? Well, I can put out a podcast, 1 or 2 every week. For sure, 1 a week. And I did that. So I get to feel good about my little things done consistently, adding up to a cool number. And I get to feel good about that. But it's just like that beautiful mind. What that great moment, Tom, when you were sitting there and you're like, wow, 300 episodes, how did you feel? It's like, well, what was also right in my third eye was the fact Tammy now been gone for 8 years. That's just like a long time that she's been gone, and her kids living without a mom, and her husband living without the wife. So it's just, I mean, I liked, I was aware. It didn't bum me out. It didn't shake my canoe. But I was just aware of the whole thing. Like the package. Way to go on this side. Purple. Here's a little bit of yellow. Not, you know, yellow being, you know, hey, your sister's gone. I just want to dwell on that. I celebrate her. You know, a lot of things I do are because of her. You know, she's just never far away. from me in my walk, my path. So here's the last one I'm going to share. So it's game six of the NBA playoffs. And I always think, so I'm going, if I was just an NBA basketball player, if I just had that much money, if I was just talented, if I was just good enough, if I was just one of the best players, you know, that, then everything would be great. And you get the worst team in the NBA, and you get the worst player on that team, and he's an amazing basketball player. Kind of funny to think about. But now you got the two top teams battling out for the NBA championships. And you're going, oh, the basketball player's going, if I was just on that team, if I was just playing for the title, you know, I just need to have that thing. And the Warriors, who've just been dominating for the last 4 or 5 years, they let Kevin Durant come back in and play, and he just was barely recovering from an injury, and he gets re-injured. So if you're thinking, oh, I just want to be Kevin Durant, you're like, well, that dude dealt with, got injured during the playoffs. I don't think he or anyone wanted him to stay out. Came back, probably came back too early. Ruptured his Achilles, so did not finish the playoffs and will be probably out for the entire next year. So to be like, oh, I just wish I was rich and famous and had that life. It's like, what would that be like? I mean, I just thought, you know, you're Kevin Durant, you barely healed, you go back in, you get hurt worse, and already, like in a matter of hours, you know you're not even playing all next year. Like, how do you deal with that? Talk about slowing down. I mean, you're going to rehab, which completely sucks, but that's it. That's your game time. That's your everything. It's just you rehabbing. Then the announcer starts focusing his attention on Klay Thompson, who's just lighting it up. Him and Curry are kind of keeping the Warriors, you know, in the game, because if the Raptors win, it's done. So as this announcer is going, you know, Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson goes down. I mean, literally a few moments after this dude was just bragging on him, grabs his knee, screaming. Well, he starts walking out and they go, look, you got to come back and, you know, shoot free throws, or you leave and don't shoot free throws. You can't come back to the game. So Klay Thompson thinks, hey, I'll bounce back. He comes back. He's kind of already jumping around on it now because he had almost got to the locker room when they called him back out. It's kind of a big break. And so he's kind of jumping around and, you know, like, and they let him shoot the free throws. They just yanked him back out, and you can tell he was frustrated. And he goes running back to the locker room, like, let's hurry this out. So hurry up so I can go back to the game. Never made it back to the game. Tore, I think, his ACL. And I'm like, man, who had that written down? Because if the Warriors win, it's game seven, and they, you know, win another championship. KD gets re-hurt. Klay Thompson gets injured. Just poof, done, over with. Raptors win. See ya. And I thought, wow, there's life. You can't stop what's coming. And even though you have it clearly written down what your goals and intentions are, it's pretty easy to see, in hindsight, that which you can control and that which you cannot control. So whatever you're doing, I hope you're focused on it, and I hope you're in the moment, and I hope you're being grateful for whatever that is, because you get to. You are worth it. Glad you're here. always thankful you're here. Because you're not here unless you recognize the benefit of being here for you. It's the only reason to do this. So let's begin to control that which we can control. Seated on the floor, legs crossed, folded, if you can. Neutral neck, navel tucked into the spine, shoulders over the hips. We will draw the inhale through the nose. Elongate it. Lengthen it. We'll exhale out the mouth, and we will lengthen it and elongate it. We'll slow down our breathing, thus controlling it. In order to do that, we must focus, connect our mind and our body, which will make us very present in this moment. So that will be the thoughts occupying the space between your ears. If anything else enters, kindly, quietly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. You'll do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations. What for, Tom? Just another little thing done consistently. It's not really a little thing. It's a pro-you thing. Those done consistently will make you a better you, make you the best you. So to remember, whatever level you're at, to begin the journey, to begin the climb, to evolve, to elevate, to move forward. Begin with gratitude. Become highly aware of what you have. Four limbs, roof over your head. People that love you. Food, clean water. There's millions and millions of people that don't have food. Millions and millions of people that don't have clean water. Someone has it worse than you. Fact. Stay focused on your blessings. Stay focused on that which serves you. Stay focused on that which you can control. Become highly aware of your Kwan. And you will get there moment by moment, step by step, by being grateful. Peace and God bless.